Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for our call. Our topic today is conservation projects that are being funded in 50 states. We have Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on the line, and we also have Don Brown, who is the commissioner, the Ag Commissioner for Colorado. Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question of either of our panelists when we get to that point, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. First, we're going to hear from Secretary Vilsack. Good afternoon.
Susan, thanks very much, and thanks to everyone on the call, and a special thank you to Commissioner Brown for taking a few minutes out of his busy schedule to be with us today. We're in Colorado to sign a memorandum of understanding based on one of the first regional conservation partnership program projects that were announced and approved last January. It's an exciting opportunity for us to focus on a more efficient irrigation system that can also produce renewable energy, a $1.8 million effort involving 13 partners with extensive outreach and education. We're also going to focus on the agricultural water management effort in the Lower Gunnison River Basin, which has 31 partners, and focusing on water efficiency, both of which are projects that were part of the 115 projects announced in the first go-round of the RCPP. Today, we begin the process of the second round, the 2016, if you will, initiatives. We're making available $235 million. Now, that's a pre-sequestration number. Hopefully, Congress will eliminate sequestration. If not, it may be adjusted at some point in time, but we're hopeful that the full $235 million will be available for utilization. We are looking forward to having the same kind of robust interest in this second go-round as we did in the first set of announcements, when we had literally 600 pre-applications, over 250 projects that were initially approved for full applications. The demand was six times the amount of resource that was available. And we are seeing significant leveraging of the over $330 million that was announced last year. We learned a lot from that first go-round. We learned that we need to probably limit the grant amount to no more than $10 million, and that would be both combined financial and technical assistance value. We know that we need to ask our partners as they're applying for these resources to identify specifically what they believe the technical assistance requirements would be from NRCS so that that can be factored accurately into the grant proposal. NRCS knows that it has to work on payment eligibility and limitation issues, and we're going to try to speed up and streamline the process so that we can make decisions more quickly to get these resources to work more efficiently and more effectively. We are convinced that this resource will be matched at least dollar for dollar, so that overall, after the $1.2 billion that's been set aside by Congress has been fully authorized and fully appropriated, we would expect and anticipate in excess of $2.4 billion of conservation activity. The commissioner knows full well the importance of this, knows full well the importance of partnership and leveraging these resources, and I know that he's excited about the projects in Colorado. So I'm going to turn it over to him for a few comments, and then Susan will take questions after.
Well, thank you, Secretary Vilsack, and glad to have you in our house today. We really appreciate that. It's a nice, cool, rainy day here in Colorado, and of course, in the arid West, we're delighted to have a little rain. And I think that brings us back to the concept of water conservation and the two projects that Colorado is just delighted to be part of. Of course, we've got an $8 million project, but the real focus today is the MOU on our hydropower component. And anybody that's very familiar with our state's aware that we have a lot of elevation changes, and as water drops downhill, there's a lot of energy involved in it, and we're going to capture some of that energy through the hydropower concept. And of course, the NRCS has always been an important thing to Colorado as we've used the EQIP and the CSP programs, but this is going to be a little unique. We're going primarily on the western slope of Colorado, and we're going to put circular sprinklers on a lot of ground which was once flood, and we're going to use the hydropower component to generate either electricity to drive the sprinkler or a mechanical power hydraulic pump to drive a different type of sprinkler. We think we'll get a lot of water conservation out of this. We'll generate energy that doesn't need to come off the grid, so to speak. So we're real excited about this project. And I think one thing that's important about this project is it, as Secretary Vilsack pointed out, that this is a partnership deal. And so we've got Colorado people involved in this, and they've got some skin in the game, and that just broadens the interest, broadens the understanding of what we're doing and what we're attempting to do here. And with that, I guess I don't have much more other than we're glad to have it. Glad to have it.
Thanks, Commissioner. And Susan, with that, we we'll take questions if there are any.
All righty. Once again, I invite you reporters to please press star 1 on your touchtone pad if you'd like to ask a question. Let me kick it off. Mr. Secretary, if you could give me some examples of projects that are taking place, like in Lake Champlain and Lake Erie, Puget Sound, that are really representative of how good this program is working.
Well, Susan, the Rural Conservation Regional Conservation Partnership program has three basic pots of money. There's a national competition, there's a state series of state competitions, and then there's what are called critical conservation areas. Colorado happens to be fortunate to be able to compete in all three of those buckets because their Colorado River Basin has been designated as one of the conservation critical conservation areas. The Great Lakes region, another area that was designated as a critical conservation area, and they have obviously serious issues concerning water quality in the Great Lakes. So there is a rather significant over $40 million project that was awarded as part of the first go-round, the first round of funding, which is really designed to provide farmers and producers in the Great Lakes region and in Michigan and Ohio the ability to aggressively promote conservation, which will result in a significant reduction in nutrients getting into rivers and streams. And we know that these projects work because we've, in addition to focusing on large landscape-scale projects, we've also been focusing on assessing the results, and we know over the course of the last 6 years, we, as a result of the conservation, working with farmers and landowners, we have prevented 238 million tons of soil being eroded. That has resulted in over 3 billion pounds of nitrogen not going into the rivers and waterways as that would have in the past, over 700 million pounds of phosphorus as well. So obviously, we want to continue to do this. And one of the things that we're looking at and one of the lessons we learned in this last go-round was that in the critical conservation areas, there may be a situation where a project involves a land that is located in the critical conservation area, but that is impacted by land that falls just outside of that critical conservation area. So in this next go-round, we're making some adjustments to provide some flexibility in those projects to make sure that they aren't disqualified from competing in the critical conservation area. So lots of different approaches. 80% of the resources in the past have gone to projects focused on water quality, better irrigation systems, buffer strips, things of that nature. The other 20% focused on soil condition and soil health. We would anticipate and expect to see that need for both soil health and water quality and quantity continue in this next round.
As we get ready to go to our phone lines, reporters, once again, we remind you to press star 1 on your touchtone pad if you'd like to ask a question. Let's go to the Associated Press's Nick Riccardi. Nick.
Hi, Mr. Secretary. I wonder if you could talk about how important this is given the worsening drought in the western United States and what this money is going to be able to help with.
Well, look, if we want to continue to provide the extraordinary diversity and affordability of food in this country to our own citizens, if we want to continue to promote jobs that are connected to exports, higher-paying jobs that are connected to agricultural exports, we obviously need to continue to produce. In order to do that, we need to make sure that our soil is healthy and that whatever we're growing has adequate water resources. To the extent that these projects do one of two things, either allow us to use water that we have more efficiently or provide for methods in which the soil can retain scarce water resources, or figure out ways in which we can basically utilize our conservation practices to conserve water resources through cover crops and things of that nature. We obviously want those projects to succeed. We need to figure out ways to use water more creatively and more efficiently, and we need to obviously figure out ways in which the soil can retain scarce water resources more effectively and the plants use water more efficiently. So this particular effort allows us to leverage the dollar that the federal government has to incent people to come together and put their resources in a pot. It allows us to focus on large-scale landscape efforts, which will be more effective and more efficient and leverage those dollars and result in greater conservation benefits. So we would anticipate and expect that the focus on water, which we saw in the first go-around, will continue. We'll learn how to do things better. We'll learn how to combine conservation practices more efficiently. We'll do projects like we're doing here in Colorado, figuring out more efficient irrigation systems, all of which will allow us to continue to be productive in areas that are dealing with drought. The last thing I would say is a companion to this is obviously our research efforts, which will continue to look at ways in which we can, through research and through seed technology, create plants, trees, and so forth that use water, need less water, in order to be productive.
Let's continue with our callers on the line, the National Journal's Claire Foran.
Hi, thanks for holding this call. My question is for Secretary Vilsack. I wanted to ask, in a recent interview with the Detroit Free Press, you talked about how you'd like to ensure that climate change and genetically modified food are issues that get talked about during the 2016 election and that you'd work to make that happen. I wanted to ask, you know, what you're going to do personally to try to elevate discussion of those issues. And then second, I also wanted to ask, you know, given how you've talked about sort of the importance of paying attention to climate change and how the USDA is taking steps to help farmers and landowners confront climate change and cut emissions, why you think the dietary guidelines would not be a good place to sort of take environmental impacts into account?
Okay. Well, in terms of what I'm doing is, obviously I'm raising the issue in the Detroit Free Press and raising it by virtue of your question, and making sure that presidential candidates are aware of the important role that rural America plays in the country, making sure that they fully understand the enormous benefits that we have with American agriculture. Not only do we have the most affordable food available in the world, but we also have farmers that are the best in the world that have allowed us to delegate the responsibility of feeding our families to a relatively small number of Americans that allows the rest of us to pursue careers and occupations in other areas without having to worry about whether or not our families are going to be well fed. We'll continue to promote the programs of this administration as it relates to climate. We recently made an announcement focused on agriculture's efforts at reducing emissions, which have been pretty impressive internationally. American agriculture's emissions are roughly 9%. Forestry is a net sink. Between agriculture and forestry in this country, it is a net sink. We want that to continue. We've established and identified 10 building blocks that we want to promote using our dollars, our conservation dollars, our NRCS programs, our CRP programs through the FSA, to be able to encourage our Forest Service to encourage better utilization of those resources and to double the rate of emission reductions, which we think we can do, which allows the United States to be a leader internationally in this effort and allows us to allow agriculture to take a leadership role and to be proactive about this, which I think is important. You know, as far as the dietary guidelines are concerned, I've said more than once that the issue of sustainability, the issue of climate, the issue of soil health, water quality, all of the things that are connected with sustainable production and production agriculture need to be raised, should be raised, but there are appropriate forums for them to be raised. The dietary guidelines, based on the statute that created and directs the Department of the United States Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health and Human Services, is very clear about what the dietary guidelines ought to be doing, and that is to be focusing on primarily diet and nutrition to be able to give American families some general understanding of what constitutes a healthy, balanced diet, and to give us information that will allow us to educate the federal nutrition programs to make sure that they are consistent with those dietary guidelines. So, to the extent that we're focused on diet and nutrition, that's what the discussion ought to be about. There are other forms and other methods for bringing up sustainability, not the least of which is what I just got finished referring to, which is the 10 building blocks and the amazing effort that we're undertaking with American farmers and producers to reduce emissions and the success we've had in the past and the success we anticipate having in the future. There is no group of people that want and are more concerned about sustainability of the soil and no more concerned about the quality and quantity of water than the people whose lives depend on having healthy soil and adequate water, and that's American farmers, ranchers, and producers.
Once again, reporters, press star 1 on your touchtone pad if you'd like to ask a question. Our next call comes from Tiffany Stecker with Greenwire. Tiffany.
Yes, hi, Secretary Vilsack. You mentioned that $235 million was a pre-sequestration number. Do you expect sequestration to have an effect on these types of programs? And second part, another number question. How much, do you have an estimate for how much your partners would raise to match with this $235 million?
Well, the President's budget strongly suggests how ill-advised sequestration is as a policy. And he has suggested and proposed to Congress that given the improved economy, given the fact that the deficit has been cut by at least a half in a relatively quick period of time, given the fact that in terms of government spending as a percentage of GDP, it's its lowest rate since the Eisenhower administration, that sequestration is not the proper vehicle for budget control. It requires prioritization, and it requires decision-making, not across-the-board ill-advised reductions. Unfortunately, if sequestration is allowed to come back into play on October 1, these resources will be subject to being reduced by a percentage. The previous sequestration rate was 7.5%. There would likely be a higher rate to that, so you could anticipate the $235 million would be cut down. We're proposing pre-sequestration amounts because we're confident that Congress will see the time has come for us to relieve ourselves of this ill-advised policy and get focus on a more strategic and more thoughtful approach. So if Congress is interested in helping defense avoid the sequestration impact, it ought to be just equally interested in making sure that the non-defense side of the equation gets attention as well. So you ask a second question, and I've kind of forgotten what that is.
I think that Tiffany is no longer on the line.
Okay.
If she calls back, we will give her an opportunity to get on, or perhaps she can give us that question offline. We have no more callers on the line. Mr. Secretary, anything to say before we close up the call and let you go?
Well, I just want to thank Commissioner Brown for his participation today in our MOU signing and his understanding as a producer himself of the important role of this partnership between state and federal and local governments, as well as our producers, as well as the nonprofit organizations, the conservation groups, the environmental groups, the hunting and fishing groups that understand the importance and significance of continued investment, continued leverage. We're excited about these projects in Colorado. We think they are cutting edge. We think that we will learn from those projects that will have implications in other states and in other circumstances impacted by drought, and we're constantly looking for ways in which we can improve and enhance renewable energy production so we provide a nice balance in terms of an all the above energy policy, which has allowed us now to have, for the first time in a long time, more energy being produced in this country than we are importing. Which has obviously strengthened our economy and maybe one of the reasons why the U.S. has produced more jobs in the last 6 years than the entire developed world combined. So excited about this day and looking forward to robust response to the second round. I think that Tiffany's second question, which I now remember, is whether or not we anticipate leverage of this $235 million. And if the past is any indication, we will receive four, five, six times the amount of dollars that we have available in terms of applications. So I am convinced we will for sure match these dollar for dollar, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's even higher than a dollar for dollar match. But at the very least, we're going to end up investing $1.2 billion over the course of several years in conservation, and we're going to see $2.4 billion of conservation activity. And that activity will be leveraged, it will be coordinated, it will be integrated, it will be focused on large-scale watersheds and landscape-scale projects, which means that it will be even more effective than if we had simply spread $1.2 billion with individual producers and individual projects. We'll continue to do that as we need to, but this, I think, is certainly going to be a look in the future in terms of overall conservation.
All righty, Mr. Secretary, thank you, and thank you for everyone for being